Okay, today your speaker is, like I just said, Brother Robert Sweeney, member of our church. It's nice to have him here to speak to us, so I'm going to turn it over to Robert.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath to you. Wilhelmina wanted to me to introduce myself, so I'll tell you my life story. My name is Robert James Sweeney. I'm a sinner, and I'm saved by grace. If you'll turn with me in the scripture to Matthew 7, verse 25. If I'm standing too close, Brian, let me know. I got a kind of a loud noise, a loud voice. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Everyone else that these storms come against are going to fall and are going to be lost. 2 Thessalonians, if you'll turn with me there to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. It speaks about those folks that even though they were maybe mediocre Christians, possible believers, or wanting to be, they fell away. And with all deceivableness or unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth and had pleasure in unrighteousness. Today, a lot of people talk about the verses in the Bible that speak about knowledge will be increased. And we're going to be going all over the place. We fly all over the world. But the knowledge, a lot of people say, is like our computers, cell phones. I mean, I can remember when I was a child, I was safer then, I think, than when we were now with all these cell phones. We got the iPads, the iPods, I don't know, there's so many different things out there. And I sometimes cringe because all these things are designed to take our hearts and minds away from God. And Satan is working overtime. Now, there's some value in this. I'm not knocking at all, but you know what I mean. If we are going to really and truly prepare for the second coming of Jesus Christ, this is all we need. This and the fact that some brother mentioned it this morning about our actions. You know, you can read all you want, but if you're not going to put in the works, what good is it? The soon return of Jesus also carries with it a message for believers. Lukewarm Christians and carnal Christians are being called to commit their lives to holiness. The night is almost gone and the day is at hand. And let us therefore lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. It's found in Romans 13, 12 through 14. The signs of Christ's coming and the end of the world. The Bible is full of these signs. I didn't realize this until I started researching it, but there's about 500 prophecies in the Old Testament that relate to the second coming of the Messiah. And in the New Testament, one out of every 25 verses is concerned with the return of Jesus. Do you think this might be important? In fact, there are so many signs that it's difficult to grasp all of them. So one way to do it is to put it in categories. The first category is the signs of nature. We're told to watch for earthquakes, famine, pestilence, signs in the heavens. This is the least respected category of signs for several reasons. For one thing, many people simply shrug their shoulders and say, it's always been happening. From the beginning of time, it's always been happening. So what else is new? Note that Jesus says these signs will be like birth pangs. That is, they will increase in frequency and intensity as the time draws near for his return. In other words, there will be more intense earthquakes and more frequent ones. That is exactly what is happening today. And I don't remember what island or country it was, but they lost over 200,000 with the earthquake that happened out in the ocean, and then that tsunami hit. I couldn't believe as the numbers kept coming in day after day. Now that was what, 7, 8, 10 years ago? A lot of people have forgotten about that. And we just keep on living our lives as if nothing's happening. Another reason these signs are given little respect is because most Christians, me, rationalize everything. We don't really believe in the supernatural, and they therefore find it difficult to believe that God speaks to the world through signs of nature. Yet the Bible teaches this principle from the start to the finish. God dealt with the world's sin through a great flood. He called the nation of Judah to repentance through a terrible locust invasion, and in like manner he called for the nation of Israel to repent by sending drought, wind storms, mildew, locust, famine, and pestilence. The prophet Haggai pointed to a drought as evidence that God was calling the people to get their priorities in order. In the days of Noah, again, I tried to research this out. I thought, how do you figure how many people were living that day? There was about 1,600 years that passed from Adam all the way up. And so I finally found some figures, and one figure, and it blew me away because I was thinking more like a million, but they said 4 billion people were alive on the earth that day, or that time. How many people were saved? And is Jesus not telling us that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when he comes again? That's a scary thought. It's enough to rock me right into what I need to be. The signs of society. Jesus said that society will become increasingly lawless and immoral as the time approaches for his return. In fact, he said it would become as evil as it was in the days of Noah. Paul paints a chilling picture of end time prophecy. He says it will be characterized by three loves, and you find this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1, 3, 5, and 7. The first love is humanism, love for self. The second love, of course, is the big one, materialism. And the love of pleasure, hedonism. He then points out that the payoff of this carnal lifestyle will be what the philosophers call nihilism. Nihilism means the rejection of all religion, all religious and moral principles, often in the belief that life is meaningless. Do you feel like that's what's happening in America today? We're falling right down the tube, right down the toilet. This is a society wallowing all over the world in despair, and men's minds will be depraved, and people will call evil good and good evil. We are seeing these prophecies fulfilled before our eyes. Today, as we watch our society reject its Christian heritage and descend into a hellish pit of lawlessness, immorality, and despair, even worse, we are exporting our nihilism around the world through immoral movies, TVs, all kinds of publications. And it's the very country that God brought up out of nowhere to preach the gospel is the one that's now preaching Satan's work all over the world. But let's not shake our heads, because maybe some of us Christians are going to the movies. You know, when we go down and spend $7 to $15 on a movie, we're supporting Hollywood, whose main executive chief is Satan. Netflix, in the home, just because you're closing your door and we're in there just watching whatever we want doesn't mean that God's not watching. The spiritual signs, third category. There are both positive and negative spiritual signs that we're going to watch for. The negative ones include the appearance of false Christs and their cults, Matthew 24, 5, 11, and 24. The apostasy of their professing church, 2 Thessalonians 2, 3. And an outbreak of Satanism and the persecution of faithful Christians. Now, just because they show it on TV that 21 Christians in Iraq were beheaded, doesn't mean it's not happening all over the world right now. And America, we still got a little time left. We got time to study this Bible. We got time to get close to God. We got time to spend on our knees praying that God will save us. But that time is short. These books are going to be taken away from us. So what you can't memorize now, you won't know then. Our lives are at stake here. Our children's lives, these little children that we're here up here, they're all at stake. And we have a duty to tell the world about it. The Seventh-day Adventist Church came about at the same time in the same century that about four or five other religions came about. Every time God brings the truth, Satan's going to bring error upon error upon error and just mix everyone up. All you have to do is read the Bible to understand what God wants us to do. Someone once said that it will take 5,000 years for us to read and understand all the laws we put on the books just here in the United States to be a law-abiding citizen. And God gave us 10 simple laws to abide by. And they've taken it out of our courtrooms, out of our schools. They've removed prayer. And people say, what's happening with our children? Really? Come on. Jesus Christ is crying for us. He's begging us because soon the books are going to close. And when the books close, that's it. I'm not going to be able to say, Lord, look, give me a little bit more time. It's not going to happen. Our time is near and our time is now. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. However, when we sin, guess what? When we sin, it opens the door for Satan and his angels to come in and attack us. If I walk into a bar tonight, do you think my angels are going to be with me from heaven? I'll guarantee I'm going to be an arm in arm with Satan's buddies. And that's a drastic way of putting it. But sin, we know what sin is. And how do we know? By the law of God. In John 10:10 through 12, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, but his hireling, he who is not the shepherd, employee, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. This is hard to say, but you can count on no man or woman to save you here. Only Jesus Christ and accepting him and following him in 100%. That's the only one we can count on. We've got a lot of good people here, and we put a lot of burden on our pastors. But it's up to us individually to come to Christ, to repent, and to start living the life that he wants us to live. Now, today, we have a call of action. There's no way to escape the conclusion that we're living on borrowed time. The signs of the time are upon us, and they are shouting for our attention. Are you ready? If Jesus were to return today, would he be your blessed hope, or would he be your holy terror found in Revelation? If you're a Christian and you're living as if Jesus might return any minute, if Christ were to come as soon as this church ended today, do you know for sure that you're saved? Do you know for sure that you'd be looking up saying, thank you, Lord, bring me up, instead of saying, Lord, let the Lord rocks down fall on me? Do we honestly know? Can we really search our own hearts and say, I'm ready? I'm a saved Christian. We might not ever be able to say that, but we'll know it in our hearts. If we're sinning, friends, and Jesus comes today, we're lost. Are you yearning for the Lord's return? And can you say with Paul that you are a candidate for a crown of righteousness? When Wilhelmina asked me to speak, and she told me what the date was, I guess that was about 2 weeks ago, and my life took a nosedive to the point where I almost wanted to call her up and say, I can't do it. But praise the Lord, I just kept praying and getting on my knees and getting back up, and every time Satan would knock me down, I'd get back up. Dear Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Sabbath day. Help us to receive the blessing that you've promised us throughout the centuries, Lord, that if we keep your Sabbath day, you will bless us, we'll bless our families. Help us to be honest, sincere people, human beings, and most of all, Christians, that we can walk throughout outside this church today and begin a new life. And Lord, help us to touch other people's lives, not thinking about what we're going to do, but doing it. If it's our neighbor, if it's someone that stopped on the side of the road, Lord, help us. And we know that if we ask you in Jesus' name, that you will protect us no matter what. Be with us, our families, and our friends here. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen.